Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
So if I were to walk up to a random person and be like, hey, do you want to watch a movie where Godzilla, Rodan, and Mothra sit down and talk about their moral obligation to defend humanity? Do you think they'd look at me kind of funny?
I think 3/4 of people would be like, what? Who are you talking about? Who are these things?
I think most people know who Godzilla is. And some people know who Mothra is. Less people probably know the other two, but... Hey, they just made a big Hollywood movie about the other two, so everyone should know who everybody is.
No.
Okay. Sorry. All right, but the movie that has all four of those monsters in it, and the one that we are reviewing today, is Ghidra, the three-headed monster. We will refer to Ghidra as Ghidra in this podcast. Yes, I know that his Japanese name is Ghidorah, and we will switch to Ghidorah at some point. And we might even fluctuate in this podcast depending on what comes out of my mouth at any given moment. So, since the title we're going with is Ghidra, the three-headed monster, we will probably refer to him as Ghidra most of the time. But speaking of Ghidorah versus Ghidra, let's talk about some alternate titles we got for this movie. The original Japanese title translates to Three Giant Monsters, The Greatest Battle on Earth. Well, there are a couple of problems with this title. Number one, there are four monsters in this movie, so someone's getting left out.
And that someone is definitely Rodan.
Yeah, probably. And second, is it the greatest battle on Earth? No. Another alternate international title, because Ghidra the Three-Headed Monster is the international title, but that's the one I think it's most well-known by. But alternate international title was Monster of Monsters, Ghidorah. It's fine. And reissue title was Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, The Greatest Battle on Earth. Rodan was left out.
Poor Rodan.
No one cares about Rodan. But let's get into some background information on this movie. So after the smash hit that was Mothra versus Godzilla, this movie was immediately rushed into production. Like, I'm pretty sure they just, like, finished filming Mothra versus Godzilla one day, and the next was like, okay, on to the next. Ghidorah is based on Orochi, the eight-headed dragon, which is like some kind of Japanese, what do you call it, fairy tale or whatever?
Myth, legend,
yeah, probably more accurate. There is a movie called Orochi the Eight-Headed Dragon, which I have tried to find, but I could not find a reasonably priced DVD copy of it.
Is it bad?
I don't know, I haven't watched it. As many as 7 people were required to operate the wires on Ghidra at any one time.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. It was released a mere 8 months after the release of Mothra vs. Godzilla.
Dying so fast.
They rushed this thing. I think you can tell in some spots that it is a little rushed. And it is the first film in which Godzilla is portrayed as a heroic figure. So starting a new new era in Godzilla-dom. But anyway.
Godzilla-dom.
Box office, this movie was released on December 20th, 1964 in Japan. In its initial box office run, it made 210 million yen. After all its reissues and everything, it has a total attendance in Japan of 5,410,000, which makes it the 6th most attended Godzilla movie in Japan and the 92nd most attended film in Japanese history. In the U.S., it was released on September 13th, 1965, and made around $1.3 million, so not a bad little run in the U.S. That's about all I had for making of. Anything else needed to be added there?
I mean,
No. All right. Well, we're going to cut to the trailer real quick, and when we come back, I have wrote a rather lengthy plot summary that Dylan is going to read to you, but first I will read the cast and crew, and then we'll get right into it. We'll dive right into our thoughts of Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
東方が生んだ大怪獣スターゴジラ、ラドン、モスラ、彼らに挑戦するキングギドラとは何か。
王女です。
何？
敏腕刑事が探す謎の王女とは誰か。
空中爆破した飛行機に乗ってたものがな、たった一人だけどうやって助かったかな。
その通り。いいか、預言者は必ず盛り場に現れる。
さあ王女、電話はどうしました？
幸せよ、待てなやむ。
間に合ったぞ。
え、
先生、王女の殺し屋です。
この人は異常ではないよ。
あなた方はまだわからないのですか。
問題は日本一国の問題ではございません。モスラは一度ゴジラと戦って勝っております。
誰がゴジラとラドンを説得するんです。
モスラを呼びます。モスラに話してもらいます。
豪華キャストで織りなす壮絶なドラマ。怪獣勝つか、キングギドラ勝つか。映画史上空前のスケールと迫力で描く三大怪獣地球最大の決戦にご期待ください。
All right, we're back.
All righty.
All right, so I'm gonna read off the casting crew here.
Andrew's dying over here.
It wasn't that funny.
It really wasn't.
All right, so I'm gonna read off the casting crew. This movie was predictably directed by Ishiro Honda. Obviously.
Who's that?
I don't know. Written by Shinichi Sekizawa. Music by Akira Fukube. Effects by Eiji Tsuburaya. And I got a long cast list here, but stick with me. Starring Yosuke Natsuki, sorry, as Detective Shindo. Yuriko Hoshi, Hiroshi Koizumi, Akiko Wakabayashi.
Yeah. We're butchering names today, folks.
Takashi Shimura. Isaya Ito, Akihiko Hirata, The Peanuts as the Shobujin, Haru Nakajima as Godzilla, Masanori Shinohara as Rodan, and Shoichi Hirose as Ghidra. I bet you're a few of those.
Lord almighty.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You want to read the plot?
I don't know, do I?
I don't know.
Let me take a sip of water.
I'm sorry.
It's a long one.
Okay.
All right, folks, here we go. Wonderfully prepared by Aaron. Yes. There's a freaking essay here.
It's like 400 words, maybe.
400 words? That's like an essay.
Okay, whatever.
Police Detective Shindo is assigned to protection detail for Princess Selena Salno, but the job seemingly ends before it begins with the prince when the princess's plane is blown up mid-flight by political assassins. Much to Shindo's surprise, the princess resurfaces in Japan and begins prophesying about the return of Rodan, Godzilla, and the arrival of a new monster, Ghidra, a three-headed space dragon. One by one, the prophecies of the princess, now claiming she is Venusian, come true, but Shindo is convinced she is insane. Unfortunately, the monsters aren't their only concern, as assassins have followed Salno from her home country, and will stop at nothing to kill their target. Meanwhile, Godzilla and Rodan have begun stomping and flying their way across Japan, dueling with each other all the while. In the mountains, a mysterious meteorite has landed, which eventually breaks open, releasing Ghidra upon the earth. On the human front, Shindo takes Salno to a psychiatrist for treatment in an attempt to get the truth out of her, but she only doubles down on her Venus ancestry and her predictions, all of which have come to pass. Back to the monsters, Ghidra has begun rampaging his way across the Japanese archipelago, destroying everything in his path. The Shobujin call on Mothra, and knowing that Ghidra is too powerful for any one monster, the larva begs Godzilla and Rodan to join forces with her to combat the space dragon. At first, Godzilla and Rodan refuse, but after seeing Mothra tossed around by Ghidra for a little bit, Godzilla and Rodan join the fight. Meanwhile, Shindo and the princess have ran into her assassins. After a bullet grazes her, the princess regains her memories. The assassin is about to line up his kill shot when a boulder blasted loose from the mountainside by Ghidra's gravity beam crushes him. The monsters, through the power of teamwork, are able to overcome Ghidra's might, and Ghidra returns to outer space in defeat.
Whew.
That was a long one.
Yeah, so doing like normal, we'll start off talking about the plot and the characters. And the reason that this plot summary is kind of long is because I think for the first time of the movies that we reviewed for this podcast, the human characters and the monsters, their plots kind of diverge, and the humans really have a subplot that, yes, it sort of concerns the monsters, but it also is kind of removed from the monsters as well. You know, for example, you know, the other Godzilla movies that we've watched, for sure, all the human plots have been very much centered around what the monsters, you know, talking about, you know, where are the monsters, what are the monsters doing, you know, what can we do to stop the monsters, da da da. And there is a lot of that here, but there's also this subplot of trying to keep this princess who thinks she's a Venusian safe from her assassins that really doesn't have that much to do with the monster A plot, or I guess the monsters are the A plot. But yeah, I think it's interesting in this movie that they gave the humans something to do other than chase the monsters around, which they, like I said,
but I want to chase the monsters around.
They do chase the monsters around a lot in this movie, but I'm going to say that, you know, we talked about how, or I said earlier that this movie was rushed into production and was, you know, came out only 8 months after the Mothra vs. Godzilla. I think you can tell that here, especially in some of the effects work, which we'll get into later, but I think in some of the story work is too, because this plot is insane, is mildly to put it, which a lot of Godzilla movie plots are insane, but it's like this woman, for really unexplained reasons, starts thinking she's a Venusian, she's from Venus, and starts prophesying about all
the
monsters
are coming.
And then the monsters do show up, but
it's aliens.
It's not the worst.
She's an ancestor of Venusians. And
aliens. It's definitely aliens.
Whatever.
It's always aliens.
I love the crazy UFO guy that's like trying to explain what happened. She survived the explosion by following into another dimension that was opened up when the plane exploded. It's just like, that's how crazy this movie is. But
it's always aliens.
Is it always aliens?
It's always aliens, Aaron.
Is it always aliens?
Yeah.
But
it is a lot from here on out.
Yeah. I kind of enjoy this plot, though, for its ridiculousness. How your enjoyment of this movie is going to be largely based on how much cheese you can tolerate and how much you enjoy this absolutely silly plot. Because, I mean, there is a lot of monster stuff. I wrote down here, like, Mothra is the first monster we see. She shows up at 21 minutes.
Yep.
Rodan's the second. He pops up at 29. Godzilla shows up at 39 minutes. And then Ghidra, who is the titular monster, it doesn't show up until the 54-minute mark.
And this is an hour and a half movie.
Hour 33 movie. So, I mean, Ghidra is in it quite a bit once he shows up, but he doesn't show up until, you know, like, over halfway through the movie. But, you know, I think I mentioned last episode how a lot of the movies that we're going to be watching from here on out until we get out of the Showa era aren't so much Godzilla movies as they are just movies with Godzilla in them. And I think this one definitely falls in that category. Because Godzilla, he's in the movie. He's got a lot of screen time, but he's not, like, the central focus in this movie. The central focus in this movie, as far as the monsters are concerned, is definitely Ghidra. But what'd you think? Were you enjoying this plot?
It's decent.
Or was it just too bonkers for you?
It's decent. I don't mind cheese. I've seen this one before, so
yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
It's not the worst plot.
It's definitely not the worst. That's for sure.
It's entertaining. I mean,
I like
it. It's cheesy, that's for sure, and yeah. It makes absolutely no sense. But it's a 1960s Godzilla.
I do. Yeah. It doesn't. I love how, like, you know, towards the beginning we see the show begin, and they're like, they're doing, like, reality TV rounds around Japan now. Like,
dude, they're like a tourist attraction. I wonder how they feel about that.
They must like it. I mean, they're not making
them, like,
doing
publicity.
It against their will. I don't know. And then, like, I love how they just brush over the fact that one of the Mothra twin larva died. They're like,
one of them died,
you know. But the other one, she's doing really good.
You're like, that's good.
It's like, oh, that's kind of sad, but okay. And the song that the Shobujin sing is, like, really depressing. It's about finding happiness or something. I was like, wow.
It always starts out like that.
Masura. And then, you know, the characters in this movie, other than the Shobujin, I think, I mean, they're fine. I think Shindo is a fine character. And his sister, who's the reporter, she's kind of entertaining. I think the acting is good in this movie. And we get, you know, a lot of Godzilla regulars. Akihiko Hirata shows up as the police chief or whatever for a short amount of screen time.
Accurate.
Takashi Shimura, he shows up as the psychiatrist. And he's in the movie quite a bit after he shows up towards the end of the movie. And, you know, he's obviously a great actor. Even Kenji Sahara is in this movie, like, just for a couple of brief scenes, is like the editor of the newspaper that the sister works at. So, you know, a lot of Godzilla regulars.
The girl who's the Venusian.
The Venusian.
She's convincingly crazy.
I don't think she was a working... I think she was more of a model. I might be wrong about this, but I think she was more of a model that just kind of, you know, they roped into this acting role. And you know, for someone who probably didn't have a lot of acting credits to her name, she's fine. I mean, she's not asked to do much except deliver super deadpan, blank stare lines. So,
the monsters.
I mean, as far as doing that well, she does it well. About on the same level as Arnold did it in The Terminator. So, you know,
I'll be back.
The Terminator movies are incredible, except for 3 through the end.
Except for all but 2 of them. We're not on a Terminator podcast, unfortunately. I'm sure there is one out there, though. I'm trying to think of what else I want to talk about during this movie. I mean,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice to see the human storyline more intermingled with the monster storyline.
I like that they gave the humans something to do. I mean, the plot is ridiculous, but they have this assassin whose name was, what was the assassin's name?
You want to talk about some sleazy-looking dudes, boy. Hey. They pulled off sleazy.
His name is Malmus.
Malmus. They pull off some sleazy.
Yeah, once they show up in Japan, they have these crazy outfits in that.
They're like Victorian outfits. Yeah,
but when they show up in Japan, they put on like these Italian mobster outfits.
One of them's wearing sunglasses all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like
the leader, Malmus. Yeah, he's got sunglasses on all the time. I don't know. I think I like this this subplot. It's kind of entertaining. It's not super boring like some of the human subplots are. And I love like all their. Every time they try to kill her, like, they're super ineffective. Like, they go to the hotel, and
they're like stormtroopers trying to freaking kill
her. The Shobujin, like, interrupt them killing her there, and then, you know, Shindo and his sister show up. And then they try to kill her at the psychiatrist's place by turning up the voltage all the way up on... Because they're going to give this poor woman shock therapy to try to get her to tell the truth. But Rodan just conveniently drops Godzilla on the power lines just as they're about to perform the shock treatment, so... Saves her there.
Accurate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he tries to shoot. Malmus is a terrible shot. He has a sniper rifle. And he gets off about 20 rounds at the end of the movie. And none of them do anything but graze the protagonist. So
Sounds like someone needs to go back to sniper school.
He's not a good assassin.
No.
He was not trained well.
No, he is not a good assassin at all. But,
he needs to go train with the League of Shadows.
You need Liam Neeson to show up.
Where's Liam Neeson in the League of Shadows when you need him?
But no, I think it's a fun B-plot for this movie to follow along. And I guess that's really the A-plot. And the monster's probably more the B-plot. But
hey... Did this say anything about people? This is Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Ghidra, the three-headed monster. No, I think... I really like how they staged, like, Ghidra. He's in a meteorite, and then he comes out, and what is his name?
He turns into, like, a big fireball, and then...
Yeah, Hiroshi Kazumi's character of Dr. Mura or whatever is standing there, and, like, he's studying the meteorite or whatever, and I think Dr. Mura, I think he is actually... reprising his role from the last movie, Mothra vs. Godzilla. I think Dr. Mura was his name last movie, too. But anyway, and then the magnetism and stuff that they always, like, is there and not there for some unexplained reason. But and then I love the end fight at the end of this movie. I mean, it's really goofy with Godzilla, like, throwing rocks and, like, doing karate.
And
like
Mothra rides on Rodan's back.
Mothra riding on, and then Godzilla, I love, like...
Her cocoon web thing.
Yeah, Godzilla's, like, always getting his tail bit, but he, like, lets Mothra bite his tail to drag her up a mountainside at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's goofy, but it's really fun, I think. And then they, of course, we can't not talk about the infamous scene where Godzilla, Mothra, and Rodan have, like, a sit-down discussion.
They literally, like, have a sit-down, like a heart-to-heart, like a talk.
Mothra's, like, begging them to help her, and Godzilla and Rodan are, like, arguing. And there's even one point where the Shobujin are like, Godzilla, what language? Because apparently Godzilla's got a potty mouth.
Isn't there, which Godzilla movie was it later on down the road where they actually speak English?
Godzilla versus Gigan?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That,
they will actually speak English.
And speaking of Godzilla versus Gigan, I think that the Criterion Collection will come in just in time, right before we're getting set to watch that movie. So we'll be able to watch that one.
A Blu-ray?
The Blu-ray Criterion Collection. I'll be able to see the Japanese version for the first time ever.
You've never seen the Japanese version?
No, I don't think in the Japanese version they actually speak. I think it's like actual like cartoon bubbles with words in them pop up.
What?
Yeah.
What?
We'll get there. But I think that's going to be a lot
of fun. You're telling me, in that movie, they don't speak words?
No, they just like the tape sound. But it's like, from what I've read, but in the Japanese version, words don't actually come out. It's just the tape sound. And there's like, you know, like the comic book bubble, word bubbles that come up.
What do you mean, like the tape sound?
Because, you know, Godzilla vs. Gigan, they're playing the tapes. And that's when Godzilla and Angus wake up. So it's like, you know, tapes being rewound and fast-forwarded or whatever. And then, but there's like air bubbles, or not air bubbles, but word bubbles coming
out. So it turns into a comic, basically.
Well, the main character is a comic book writer, kid. Yeah. So, anyway, we're not talking about Godzilla vs. Gigan today. We're talking about Ghidra, the three-headed monster.
Ghidra.
But I don't know. I think I've said about all I want
to
say about
that. Yeah, no, it's entertaining to a degree.
I think it's fun plot. I mean, it's
decent.
It's decent.
It all depends on how far you're willing to go with the ludicrousness of it. But it's a fun plot. I mean, and considering like how quickly this movie came out, after Mothra vs. Godzilla, I think it could have been a lot worse. Definitely could have been a lot worse. But
accurate. Especially, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, turnaround, as fast as this turnaround was, it could have been like another Godzilla Raids Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turnaround, because that was a quick turnaround too, and then it was bad.
That movie was really bad.
Yeah. So. I did the movie an F.
So, do we want to get into some creature design?
We got four.
Let's start with, of course, Godzilla. Oh, yeah. Basically the same suit from the last movie. They've redesigned the head a little bit.
His mouth's not flopping around.
His lips aren't flopping around. I still like it. I don't think it's quite as effective as last time out, but I still think it looks good. I mean, it's a classic Godzilla design.
He looks decent. He looks pretty good.
Yeah, his eyes, there's like some scenes, you know, like
he's got glaucoma, boys.
Like when animals get cataracts, they have like this kind of glossy look on their eyes. He's got that a couple of times.
Yeah, he's got cataracts.
Nah, dude, it's glaucoma.
poor Godzilla. But no, I think Godzilla looks fine in this movie.
He's going blind.
Let's go on to Mothra, who's actually the first monster we see in this movie. I mean, she looks fine. She looks about the same as she did in the other movies.
Mothra larva.
I think the Mothra larva. I mean, there's like, I think it actually looks a little bit better. I think the head design, it looks pretty cool, like the ridges she has on her head. And then I think like
she looks longer.
Yeah, at times in the other movies, I felt like I could see where like pieces of the puppet were falling off. I don't really see that in this movie. So.
No.
And the red glowing eyes.
The red glowing eyes.
I think Mothra looks fine.
Mothra looks good.
I don't actually, I didn't, maybe I wasn't looking close enough. I don't actually like see any of the wheels under the larva moving at this time. So, let's do that. Oh, Rodan took a big hit from his debut movie.
Boy.
I talked about his debut movie, how, you know, his wings were really flexible and I really loved his design. Like his head, he looked menacing. They redesigned him here where his wings are really stiff. And they'll get even stiffer later. But
and his head is stupid.
He looks super dopey. Like, his head looks really dopey.
He looks more birdy, more bird-like than he did.
Kind of. He looks more bird, less reptile-like. But
yeah. They gave him, like, more beak.
More of a bird beak, yeah.
Than a pterodon.
But, yeah, so Rodan not looking that great this time around. Not a good. But let's get to the titular monster. I love that word, titular. Ghidra looks
Ghidra's cool.
Really good. Yeah. The wire work on Ghidra is really good. The suit
There's
actor.
There's three heads, they flop around a lot. Yeah.
The suit actor, I'm sure, is probably a struggle to keep his balance in that thing, but he does a good job.
He's got a lot of wires help hold him up.
Yeah. That's true. But I think Ghidra looks really good. So the golden scales look really good. And
yeah, Ghidra looks
good. Originally, he was supposed to be like a bunch of dudes, like a rainbow colored.
What?
And yeah, it would look weird.
I'd rather take the gold. I think the gold looks cool.
Gold looks really cool, and so I really like Ghidra.
Ghidra looks
and
good.
Then his head design. He doesn't look super like classic Chinese dragon-y like he will later, but cool. Anyway,
and it doesn't seem like in this one like the different heads have different personalities.
No, they're all just kind of bouncing around, yeah. But let's get into, I guess, effects. Speaking of Ghidra, like I said, I think the wire work on Ghidra is really good. Ghidra's gravity beams look really cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunate side effect of that, they couldn't afford to have Godzilla's ray colored in blue every time. So a lot of the time, Godzilla is just shooting like a white mist.
Yeah.
Which looks kind of bad. The models look, I mean, there's not a whole lot of city models in this movie, but they look good.
The models are good. You can see some wires on Rodan a couple times.
You can see wires on several shots, yeah. Yeah. Some of the puppets that they use for the monsters, especially Godzilla and Rodan, look kind of rough.
Some of the matting is a little questionable.
A lot of the matting's pretty good, but some of it's pretty questionable, yeah.
Pretty good.
Some of the matting with Ghidra is a little rough.
Yeah.
Like when he's like flying over like the castle.
I will say though that the city destruction scene when Ghidra is like destroying Kyoto or whatever, maybe it's Tokyo, I'm not sure, but where he's just raining down his gravity beams on the city is really well done.
Yeah.
And the pyrotechnics are really well done in that scene.
You're talking about pyro. They do use a lot of pyro for
this. You were talking about like the scene where Ghidra hatches from his meteorite. I mean, it's a pretty effective scene. Looks really cool. But they use a lot of sparklers.
Lots and lots of sparklers.
And the effect where the fire like forms into Ghidra's shape, looks pretty cool. So, overall, I think the effects are pretty good in this movie.
Effects are pretty good, yeah.
Especially, again, considering how rushed this movie was, how little time they had to work on the effects, I think they look pretty good, so.
Like I said, there are some questionable ones, but that's all right.
So, but
I think last but not least is the score.
Last score, Fukube is back to his bombastic score. Again, not a Fukube's greatest score ever, but I mean, it's still really good. Godzilla's theme is back, Rodan.
Every time one of them is on screen, boy, you gotta know.
He's retooled Rodan's theme to be a lot more bombastic. He's turned it into the bum 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 bum. But anyway, bum bum bum. And Ghidra's theme, I like it too. It's kind of shrill, like the horn he's using. The horns are like kind of shrill and ear piercing, but it's effective. I like it quite a bit. So
decent score.
It's a good score.
Just reusing stuff, but
yeah. So. We'll get to hear Fukube's work plenty more times, mm-hmm. Don't worry. But, so score, really solid. You want to get into, I guess that leads us into some final thoughts.
Yeah, go for it, Andrew.
Andrew, what do you think?
Well, I think this movie was pretty good for the amount of time they had to make it. Some of the matting is off, but it's pretty good for what they were made for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to give this movie a B.
A B. All right.
A B.
What about you, Dylan? That's fair.
Yeah, so the story, as far as human storylines go, I mean, it's not, like, the best that we've seen. It's definitely out there and a little odd and completely ridiculous. But it's interesting. It's entertaining. It's definitely goofy. But it's cool following these characters. Their characters are pretty likable and enjoyable for the most part, I guess. And like I said earlier, I mean, it is nice to get to see the human story kind of intermingle with the monsters a little bit more. I think that's a nice aspect of the movie. The monsters are, for the most part, Godzilla looks pretty good. Rodan is definitely the worst. Mothra looks good. And Ghidra is really cool as our new monster in this movie that we haven't seen before. I think Ghidra looks really, really good in this. Effects are kind of hit and miss. Mostly hit. Few misses. Some of the matting on Ghidra, like flying and stuff like that, looks a little rough. And there's a scene where he lands and
it's like some people in front of him. And it's rough.
There's a matting effect of some people like in that volcano that looks a little rough. And they sped up some shots when people are running that bother me. Like every time people were like running away or something like that, they sped them up to like 1.5 speed. And I was like, what's the point? I was like, they're already running. Do you need to move
them
faster?
Need you to get the point across that they're running really fast.
But other than that, I mean, some I will say the matting of the peanuts as the Shobujin looks pretty good for the most part.
For the most part. I mean, there's a couple of iffy shots, but
Yeah.
And there's some shots where they're obviously dolls.
There's one shot where they're obviously dolls. at the beginning of the movie when the little boys are talking, and it's like a distant shot, you can like tell these are little plastic dolls sitting up there. But other than that, effects are pretty decent. A couple times you can see some wire work, but other than that, it's alright. And then the score is decent. I mean, like we said, it's not a Fukube's best score, but you're definitely going to know when Ghidra or Rodan or Godzilla or Rodan is on screen. That's for sure. It plays about every 2 seconds in the movie. But overall, it's a decent movie. It's not my favorite that we've watched so far. I'm going to give it a B.
B, alright. Yeah, I think for Godzilla's ultimate nemesis' entry, Ghidra, into the franchise, I mean, it's pretty good. I think Ghidra will get a foreshadowing my thoughts. I think he will get a better round maybe in the next movie, but I think it's a good entrance for him. Like y'all already said, the effects mostly hit. I mean, there's a few rough shots. Score, I really like the score. Poor Mothra, she got like a depressing song this time around. But I wish they would have had like the classic Mothra song, maybe sung it just once. Like, they could have sung that depressing song the first time around on the TV show, and then when they had to call Mothra, use the classic Mothra song. But, you know, whatever, I'm not complaining.
Sounds like you were complaining.
just a little bit. And then the story, like we've said, I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous, but it's a fun story. I mean, if a plot is stupid, but it's really fun, I can, you know, go with it. My problem with King of the Monsters was the plot was ludicrous, but the human plot wasn't really that fun. So, and of course, this movie is also helped by the fact that it's only 93 minutes long. So, which is actually, I think, one of the longer ones we've probably watched so far. But yeah, I enjoy this movie quite a bit. I think it's a really fun entry into the series. Especially considering, like I said, that they only had an 8-month turnaround on this thing. The fact that it's as good as it is pretty impressive. I hear a lot of fans on the podcast and stuff that I listen to kind of talk down on this movie, but I don't really see why. I think it's still one of kind of my personal favorites and one of the better of definitely in the top half of the Showa era, I would say. So I'll give this movie a B+.
Solid
B+. So not much news this week. Just a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I think it was the CEO of, I don't know, Legendary or Warner Brothers or whatever, or somebody from one of those companies said, they were talking about the future of the MonsterVerse, and they said, you know, we're still targeting a spring release date for Godzilla vs. Kong, and, you know, they said they're still planning on continuing the MonsterVerse, not only in movies, but also in comics and graphic novels and whatever else. They also said that there is a new mobile game in development that its release date will coincide with that of Godzilla vs. Kong. It'll come out around the time Godzilla vs. Kong is going to come out. So, you know, that could be really cool. It's being developed by Disruptor Beam, which I've looked at some of their other games. They made like that, Star Trek Timeline or something, which was a pretty big mobile game. I haven't personally played it, but and they've done some other ones. But, I don't know, it could be exciting. And then I just thought I would mention that August 7th was the 2-year anniversary of Haru Nakajima's passing. So, really sad. Obviously, he will be missed. He was the greatest suit actor of all time. But, anyway, I guess that's all we had for news. Not a lot of news. Oh, I did want to mention, if you are looking for the cheapest way to get the Godzilla Criterion Collection, Amazon now has the lowest price that I've seen. They've lowered it to $169.99. So if you want to pre-order them there, I would suggest that's probably that'd be the best place to do so. Also, the steelbooks for Ultraman and Ultra Q are down to $27 a piece on Amazon, and the just normal Blu-ray versions of those are down to $21, or maybe they're down to $17 a piece now for each of those. So prices are dropping, which may be a bad sign in terms of demand for these things, but for my wallet is a good sign. So yeah, exciting times. Both of the Ultraman and Ultra Q steelbooks will be released October 15th, I believe, and then the Godzilla Cartoon Collection is still coming out October 29th. So October is going to be a big month around this house. Lots of exciting times. But you know what else is exciting?
What we have next week.
What we have next week. This Thursday, I believe we have all got our schedules lined up so that we can go watch the Rift Tracks, the Giant Spider Invasion, or whatever it's called. So,
Lord almighty.
I would suggest, if you aren't that familiar with Rift Tracks, if you have a theater near you that's going to have their live stream for their riff of this movie, even if you don't care about the movie, go check them out, because surely you've seen an episode or two of MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000. I mean, if you like what they did on that, I think you'll like what they do here. They're pretty funny. I'm not going to say I love the format of their show. I think they make fun of, every time they make fun of like some sort of public service announcement video from like way back in the day, I think they could probably drop that segment. But other than that, I think they're really funny. I think they're really good.
I think it'll be interesting. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's a fan favorite, or they wouldn't have done it multiple times.
Yeah, they've already done this movie as MST3K, so apparently it went over well. You went and saw Rift Tracks for the first time when we went and watched that terrible
Star Raiders.
Star Raider, whatever. But do you think Riff Trax is worth checking out?
I like it. I thought it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. That movie was terrible.
That movie, worth the $13 or whatever we got laid down for it?
I don't know if it's worth the $13 I paid for it, but I mean, I wish it was cheaper because it hurts my wallet having to bust out $13 to go see something. But I mean, it's entertaining.
Anytime they have,
if I had money to spare, definitely worth the $13. But I'm strapped for cash at this moment.
Luckily, they only do theatrical things about three times a year. So I mean, it's not like a once a month thing. I mean, anytime you have a special event, obviously theaters are gonna charge it's out that butt for it. So you know, it's unfortunate, but.
But I think if you definitely have the time, it's worth going to check out. I mean, it's entertaining if you like to see people have funny commentary on very questionable movies.
Yeah.
But this one is giant spider invasion or something like that. Mm-hmm. I read something like that, and the spiders are actually like they created them using Volkswagen Beetle chassis.
Yeah.
So we got VW bugs dressed up as spiders.
Yeah, that's funny. That's pretty funny. But yeah, don't forget to join us next week when we review that movie. We will be reviewing the strictly the Riff Trax version. I'm not gonna go back and suffer through that movie, the normal version without the commentary. So we will also comment on the commentary. So you know,
gonna provide a commentary for the commentary.
Yeah.
The commentary,
so, but but it'll definitely be a fun
it's commentaryception.
And then the week after that, we will return to Godzilla with Invasion of Astro Monster, or Godzilla versus Monster Zero, or Monster Zero, whatever you want to call it, which is a fan favorite in the franchise, definitely. So
following week is,
I don't even know, to be honest with you. So
and then the following week after that,
that would be Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster. So lots of
Ebra, Horror of the Deep.
Yep, Ebra, Horror of the Deep. So, but yeah, lots of exciting stuff. Obviously, you can see our full schedule of events at our website, which is
www.thompthisway.podbean.com.
Dylan, are we still up on social media?
Yeah, we're up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Aaron's very active with the Twitter fingers and the Instagram fingers.
Yeah, once a week.
Once a week. And occasionally with some news.
Yeah.
But like I said, up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are at Stomp This Way on all those platforms. Make sure you give us a like or a follow. Be sure to tell your friends about us if you like hearing us talk about giant monsters.
Yeah, if you want to contact us directly, you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com. We are available on all major podcatching services that I'm aware of, including iTunes, Spotify, Google Play,
and
whatever else there is.
You know, feel free to leave us a review on iTunes especially.
Yeah.
Helps us
in the
rankings. Boost us in the rankings so you can find us easier.
Yep.
Help other people find us too.
Yep. I guess that's all we have for you this week.
Yep.
Again, next week, we're going back to theaters for Riff Trax Giant Spider Invasion. Don't forget to join us. I would like to apologize if this movie this review comes out a little late. We're recording it a little late.
I'm a busy guy.
But it's fine. It's all good. It's all good in the neighborhood. So, but as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Dylan. And we'll catch you in the next one.